Today's reading comes from Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. It's when the Father is revealed in his Son. Listen to your own message. At this time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Thank you, Kathy. The last one, if you were here, we got out early, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so we've got to make that time up. You want it all today, or should I? A little bit at a time, spread it out, okay. I'll do it in August. You gotta laugh, you gotta laugh. Dan Miller, in his book, Wisdom Meets Passion, reveals some fascinating information about the brilliant author and sculptor and inventor, Leonardo da Vinci. Da Vinci, the ultimate Renaissance man, he had an intense curiosity about birds. He would watch them, study them, draw them, how they flew, everything about them. He studied their wings and modeled helicopters, parachutes, and flying machines based on their anatomy, way back before there was such a thing. The freedom and movement of birds served as a metaphor for Da Vinci's life. He observed that a mother goldfinch, seeing her babies in a cage, would take a poisonous plant to them and feed them. Da Vinci explained, "Better death than to be without freedom." In the course of his frequent strolls through the streets of Florence, Da Vinci often encountered merchants selling caged birds. Frequently, he stopped, paid the purchase price, opened the doors, and then let the birds fly free out into the blue sky. Such was his passion for freedom. I hope as we have celebrated this Independence Weekend, you've given some thought to the passion for freedom that our forefathers had more than 200 years ago in developing and creating this great nation that we have. And I hope as you are reminded of Da Vinci buying those caged birds off the streets of Florence and then setting them free, you also give some thought to the one who purchased your freedom and your salvation by the giving of his life on the tree at Calvary. Our text for today is a perfect one for this holiday weekend. When we get some time off to rest and relax and have our barbecues and see friends and do some things that we want to do, it reminds me of a woman who opened her refrigerator one day and saw a rabbit sitting on one of the shelves. The woman said, "What are you doing in there?" And the rabbit replied, "Well, this is a Westinghouse, isn't it?" The woman replied, "Yes." And the rabbit said, "Well, I'm Westing." Think about it for a minute. I'm Westing. It's a Westinghouse. That's what you call a groaner. "Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened." That's part of the scripture we're focusing on this morning. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is the promise that many of us, I believe, need to hear, myself included. We're tired for many reasons. Some of us are tired because we work too hard. I know your bosses may not say that you do, but you know that you do. Time magazine reminds us that back in the 60s, expert testimony was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. These experts predicted that advances in technology would radically change the work week, where Americans in 20 years from the 60s would only be working 22 hours a week. The great challenge, these experts said, was what these people would do with their free time. Some people are working 20, 22 hours a week because they can't find full-time jobs. Well, it's been about 50 years since that prediction was made. And how many of you who work are wondering what to do with all that excess time on your hands? Didn't happen. In one of the books, Barbara Brown Taylor, former pastor, now author and lecturer, notes that in China, the polite answer to the question of how are you is to say, I am very busy, thank you. That, says one commentator, is the measure of our success and an indicator of how we run in this world and how we measure our lives no matter where we live. And because we have made an idol out of busyness, we are tired. We're a tired people. And even more, we are tired because we worry too much. To a great extent, much fatigue is mental. A lot of times we think, well, I'm tired because I've physically done something. Our body feels tired not because our bodies have been too active, but because our thoughts have been in overdrive dealing with fear and anxiety and stress. Worry and stress are killers. Gordon MacDonald once noted that no man ever collapsed because of the burdens of the day. It is when the burdens of tomorrow are added to the cares of today that a person begins to sink. The estimates are that 80% of Americans are under at least 80%, or 80% of Americans are under at least a moderate load of stress. Tommy Lasorda, I think we all know him, the longtime manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, tells a story from his younger days. He was a manager in the minor leagues in 1971 when his team lost 7 straight games. By that time, the sports writers across the country had voted to select the greatest major league team in the history of baseball. And they chose, almost overwhelmingly, the 1927 New York Yankees. Defeated and exhausted from their consecutive losses, Tom Lasorda's team headed for the locker room. A few minutes later, he walked in and found all the players sitting around, dejected, heads hanging down. He said, hey, get your heads up. Look up. I don't ever want to see you fellows with your heads down again. Just because you lost 7 games does not mean that you are losers. You're going to start winning. As you know, according to a recent poll, the greatest team to ever play in the major leagues was the 1927 Yankees, and they lost 9 straight games. Suddenly, heads shot up. Expressions began to change. There was a positive look in their eyes. It was the turning point. The team started winning. And by the end of the season, they were champions. Hearing about this story a few days later, his wife asked, Tommy, are you sure the Yankees lost 9 games in a row? Tommy said, how should I know? I wasn't even born. But it made a point. It made a point. The team needed to believe that success was possible. The team needed to know that 7 consecutive losses did not mean that they were losers. There's something energizing about a positive belief. It would be good to remind ourselves from time to time that our faith is entirely positive based. That is why we call the gospel the good news. The good news. We are loved, and our God has good things in store for those who love Him. Some people are tired because they work too hard. Some people are tired because they worry and stress too much. Many people are tired simply because they suffer from from sleep deprivation. That may sound trivial and obvious, but we need to talk about it, I think, for a moment. My guess is there are some of you who do not get enough sleep to function at your best. Some of this lack of sleep, of course, is due to stress and worry. You get in bed, your mind is racing, you can't shut it off. Then there are medical conditions, sleep apnea, restless leg syndrome, all kind of things that are insomnia, true medical conditions, and there are medications that mess with you. When we get older, sometimes our sleep patterns get messed up, and hormones, all kind of things can cause our sleep to be not right. D.T. Niles, the greatest Asian evangelist, tells of traveling across India by train. It was a long trip, and he really needed to get some sleep. However, he was so concerned about his suitcase getting stolen that he had a hard time sleeping. He put it on the rack directly above where he sat. He kept dozing and waking with his eyes, just kind of half sleeping, watching that suitcase because his valuables were in there. Finally, he was so tired that he dozed off longer than he meant to. And when he woke up, he looked and his suitcase was gone. However, he said an interesting thing happened. It was then, after the suitcase was stolen, that he was able to go to sleep and sleep sound. He no longer had anything to worry about and to watch. That pressure of watching the suitcase was gone. There's something about a troubled mind that can rob us of sleep. For many people, this is a serious problem. Did you know that next to alcohol, sleep deprivation is the leading cause of accidents and injury? It's also a leading cause of poor productivity at work. Of course, we vary in our ability to get a good night's sleep, and I read a true but humorous story. It's hard to believe that this is true. According to investigators, a car was airborne at about 150 feet before crashing onto the roof of someone's house. And it just didn't land on the roof. It went through the roof and landed kind of just sitting there right above an elderly couple's bed. Man said it was so hot from the exhaust that was just right over him that he could feel the heat from that exhaust burning him through the sheets. Woke him up instantly. But his wife, she slept through the whole thing. Said he had to literally shake her and kind of yell at her to wake her up. Honey, wake up! There's a car in the house. Being able to sleep like that is a gift. And I hope that some of you are so gifted, but many people pride themselves on their lack of sleep. We talk about Edison, the great inventor, taking 15-minute naps, and someone like Jay Leno that only sleeps 4 hours a night, always working, always doing something. But we forget about people like Thomas Edison, the great inventor. Albert Einstein, the great mind, who slept 11 hours a night. So people are different. Our rhythms are different. Different people need different things. A certain family was visiting New York City for the first time. They were dazzled by the lights and all the bustling crowds of Manhattan. And the father told his 11-year-old daughter, "This is the city that never sleeps." And the little 11-year-old girl, in her wisdom, said, "Yeah, that's because there's a Starbucks on every corner." Some of us are running our lives on caffeine and ignoring the possible health costs or productivity costs or even possibly the cost of our overall well-being. We're using stimulants and something to drive us, to wake us up, to push us beyond where we should be pushed. And we've come to these words of the Master, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our greatest need is to relax and learn to trust our God. And it's not always an easy thing to do. That's what happens when we yoke ourselves to Christ. He helps us bear the burdens of the day. Do you remember the Greek mythological figure Atlas, whom our maps are named after? In the old myth, he offended the king of the Greek gods, Zeus. For punishment, Zeus made Atlas for all eternity carry the weight of the world literally on his back. You've seen those drawings of him bent over in the world right on his back. Best-selling author Harold Kushner wrote in his book, Who Needs God? That's the name of the book. That was a harsh punishment as the ancient Greeks could conjure up in their mind. Today it seems, says Kushner, we have volunteered to play the role of Atlas. We have not offended God. We have dismissed God. Told him that we're grown up enough. I don't need your help anymore, God. I'll handle it. I'll take care of it from here on out. So we carry the weight of the world upon our shoulders. The question is, when it gets too heavy for us, and when there are questions too hard for human knowledge to answer and problems that take more time to solve than any of us have, will we be too proud to admit that we need help? Help from another person, but especially really need God's help in our lives? Or do you want to carry the problems of the world alone on your shoulders? Joseph Croft once said about a duck who was frantic in protecting her ducklings. She flew into a fury even at the approach of the well-meaning humans that she'd grown up with who had cared for her all of her life. She became so distressed that she forgot what she was doing, not only attacked them, so stressed that she began to attack her own young. That's what anxiety can do for us. That's what we as human beings do. When we get so much anxiety and stress upon us, we begin to attack those who are closest to us, those whom we love the most. The most pleasant and useful person, says philosopher and humanist Don Marquis, are those who leave some of the problems of the universe for God to worry about. If you're going to insist on carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders alone, you are going to be one tired, weary, burdened individual. So let me give you some good news. There's one who loves you, who cares for you, has compassion and empathy for you, who will take your burdens upon his shoulders. The burdens that you cannot carry, the burdens that you cannot handle, the burdens that you cannot deal with, that will crush you, that will weigh you down, that will break your back. God can take that from you if you will let him, if you will turn loose. I hope that this 4th of July weekend finds you somewhat rested and refreshed, that you got a break from work, from worry, from the strain and stresses of life, and that you're just chilling out a little bit, taking it easy. But I hope even more than that, that you are letting Christ rest and refresh you this day and every day of your life, and that you will allow him to do it through all of eternity. Give your weariness and your burdens to God. God can carry them better than you. May God bless you. Amen.